You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Like the prodigal son, you know, where it says the father was out on the road. It said when the prodigal son came, the father saw him way off. He'd been looking for him. He'd been waiting for him. He's wanting him to come back. And he ran and embraced him. And see, we need to get that picture of God. He's not just some moral governor of the universe or some power. You know, we often think of God just in terms of omnipotence. We use all these Greek words that are really not biblical words. They're just, they make God abstract out there somewhere and not really relational and concrete. If you're not careful, you'll think of God in those terms, you know, omniscient, omnipotent, you know, impassive, and all these terms. Well, actually, Jesus said he was our Father. That's relation. That's relational. Jesus said he loved us. And I believe that. For God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? See, so God was, we need to think of God in terms of family. Yes, he's our creator. Yes, we have awesome respect and awe. We don't want to be reverent about God. But God is our Father, and God actually, I don't get it, but he loves us. Crazy about us. Absolutely crazy about us. It's not just about doctrine and teaching, although there's much teaching, much doctrine, I got that. But this is about a person. Jesus is not a doctrine, he's a person. Amen. And there's much we can talk about and teach on along the lines of who Jesus is and what he does, and I do that, and that's fine. But the ultimate goal is to get you to know him. You know, Mikhail wrote me a letter. I might have shared this the other day and put it on my desk. Mikhail is our granddaughter, Mikhail. She's 10. And she wrote this letter in third person. And I walked in on her while she's putting it on my desk. She says, "Oh, Papa, I found this letter. Somebody wrote to you, wanted you to read it." Well, obviously it's her. I recognize her handwriting right off the bat, you know. And she says in the letter, "Thank you for serving Jesus," basically, you know. I follow Jesus because you followed him, and I loved him because you loved him, but because I've been listening to what you have to say, I found out who he is for myself, and now I love him for who he is. Whew, that's a message. Are you with me? I thought, man, don't follow him just because somebody else follows. Well, don't just love him because somebody else loves. It's not a teach. It's not a doctrine. It's a person. You need to know him. And you need to love him for who he is. Hallelujah. Oh, it starts that way. I got that. And we all need to serve God because people are following us. I got that. But our ultimate goal is to get them to him, not us. That's right. To look who we're pointing to. We're just reflections of that light. Hallelujah. We are just adjectives, adverbs. That's all we are. We're not the noun. We're satellites. We're not the sun. Amen. We compliment and we point to him. Praise God. But I thought that was just a 10-year-old. Whew, man, that's revelation, isn't it? I mean, she's got a revelation. It started out so sweet, you know, thank you for serving him, thank you for following him and talking about him, and I followed him because you did, and I loved him because you did, but I found out who he is for myself now because of what you did, and now I love him for who he is. That's good stuff, amen. You know, I could write a book about Brenda. It'd be good. Yeah. It would be wonderful, lovely, dandy, marvelous. Everything would be awesome. We've been married 43 years now this week. Monday was 43 years last week. And you could read the book, and you could read all about Brenda, and you could find out, you know, when she was born. You could find out her likes and dislikes and so on and so forth, and find out about all the kids she had and all the grandkids she had, and she had a bunch of them, 5 children, 19 grandchildren, you know. You find out how long she'd been married to me and, you know, about the church. You can find all kinds of things, and you could quote all kinds of facts and figures and history about Brenda. But still, that's not the same thing as knowing Brenda. Are you with me? Now, see, you might come and argue with me about some facts about Brenda, but you could never talk me out of knowing her. I know her. She's not a doctrine. She's a person that I have met and known for years. I might even get a little messed up on some of the facts sometimes. But I'm not in question at all about knowing her. I know her. Are you with me? And so we always keep that in mind when you're talking about the Bible and we're teaching the Word of God and we're going through Scripture and we're talking about doctrine and teaching, which it's there. We do it every Sunday, do it every Wednesday, and we should because it keeps us straight. This is the map, the guidelines, as it were. But this is all about a person. We might argue about a lot of things, but one thing you cannot argue with me about is I know Jesus. You could never talk me out of that because I've already met him. He's a person. And when you get to heaven, he's not going to say, you know, you never knew anything about me. He's going to say, you never knew me, or he's going to say, I know you, and you know me. You need to get to Jesus, amen? He is what the Bible is all about. He is the central thing, the crux, the center, the base. He is the legend to the map. He's what it's all about. If you could see through everything God's done, you'd see Jesus. When you see through someone, you see what their motive is. You see what they're trying to accomplish. Oh, I see what they're trying to do. I see through that. Well, if you could see through the Bible, you'd see Jesus, because that's always been what God's about, is him loving us. And that's all free. It's not really what I'm teaching on. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew 7. We'll just start out there and, as I often say, jump off that diving board and pray there's water in the pool. Last week we taught on overcoming the world. Did you know you are supposed to overcome the world? You're born to overcome the world? Which that statement in and of itself is power-packed. If I was born to overcome the world, that's what the Bible says in 1 John 5:1. It says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And the fourth verse says, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace, in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we know the world is meant to be overcome, but that tells us a lot if you think about it. It means that the world, the state that it's in, is not God in God's will. It's not God doing what's going on in the world. God made the world, but then something happened to the world. You know, we know what happened. Adam sinned. It's all in the Bible. And Romans 5:12 tells us when Adam sinned, by one man sin entered the world, and then death by sin. So death came because of sin. Sin came because of man. God's not into all that. God's not killing. He's not into death. He's not into sin. And we're not overcoming God when we overcome the world. We're overcoming what's wrong with the world. We're sure not fighting God. God wasn't saying, whosoever is born of God overcometh God. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Because the world's in a mess right now. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came to deliver us from this present evil world. Evil world. Well, God didn't make it evil. Evil's not God. God didn't do that. God made the world good. But then evil came into the world because of man, Adam. And Jesus came to save us from this evil world and to deliver us from the power of darkness and from the power of the devil, the prince of the power of the air, not God, the devil. Now, God's going to take it back. I got that. And he's going to make a new heaven, a new earth. Hallelujah. Because he did originally make it and made it good. And he's going to return it back to the way it was. But that hadn't happened yet. Until then, we are in a battle. We're in the fight of faith. Amen? We're good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're kind of in a war zone, if you want to know the truth. We're fighting every day. We're fighting for the soul of our families and our marriage and our country. Are you with me? We're fighting because there is an enemy out there that comes, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You don't need to be afraid of them. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So you do have an enemy, it's not God. You had a bad day? It wasn't God that did that, okay? It wasn't God that did that. God's who you call on in a bad day. Fighting sickness and disease, well, call on God for healing. Fighting depression, call on God for peace. God didn't make you depressed so he could give you peace, and he didn't make you sick so he could heal you. He's not divided against himself. Jesus said a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Are you with me? And God doesn't do evil that good may come. Are you with me? Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. So when we talk about overcoming the world, which we did last week, and all those scriptures we went over, how that really you and I are not supposed to be lay down and give up and quit and let the world run over us. No, we're supposed to believe God and pray and stand on the word and fight and win. Thank God. Aren't you glad to know you can win? You know, you're not in a box. I don't care what's going on in the country, what's going on with the economy, what's going on with the devil. It doesn't matter. I win. I win. If I believe God and pray and seek God's face, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will not want. He supplies my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if it plays out here in the world, it won't play out in heaven, and he supplies my needs from heaven, not here.
That's right.
Are you out there? So don't feel like, oh, what am I going to do? The whole world is just going to hell in a handbasket, you know, and we see things going on in our country that we're concerned about, and I'm concerned too. But you need to just pray, and don't get in fear, and don't let that stuff overwhelm you. We were born to overcome. We win. God's still on the throne. He's still up there. He's still waiting on somebody to call. The name of Jesus still works. The word of God's still true. He still loves you. Amen. Okay, Matthew 7, found it? I just want to give you plenty of time to get there. This is Jesus speaking. I believe Jesus. How about you?
Yeah, amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 7, I want to talk about this morning. We'll see how far we get with it. We may carry this on for another week or two. I don't know. Depends on how y'all respond. No, we talked about overcoming the world. Now we want to talk about overcoming storms of life. And that's, of course, metaphorically or in a simile or... I'm not talking about literal storms, but storms. We all face storms. You can face financial storms. You can face marital storms. You can face emotional storms. You can face physical storms, sure. You can face church storms. Hello. There's all kinds of storms. But one thing for sure, and you need to get it straight, we need to get a hold of this, we're supposed to overcome storms. We're not supposed to be overcome by them. Now, the point of storms is to overcome you. It's not to test you, to try you. It's not to build your character. It's the devil just trying to knock you out of faith. Storms don't come from God. Jesus didn't stop a storm that God started.
Yeah.
I mean, he stopped a storm that God didn't start. You know, I don't think there's any storms in heaven. There's no sin in heaven.
Amen.
But there is sin down here. This world's full of sin. Sometimes things that happen to you is not even your sin, but it definitely is sin. It's going to be all the way back to Adam. It'll start there for sure, because that's where death came from. And death passed on all men, even those who hadn't sinned. And if you know, we all die. Oh, come on. See, there's a lot of things that we all share, and it wasn't even our fault, really. It was what happened to Adam, and it passed on us. Now, God made provision, praise God. All you got to do is call on Jesus, and you can get out of death, in the sense if you don't have to go to hell, you can go to heaven. And one day, we'll never even physically die again, because in heaven, nobody dies. There are no funeral homes up there. There are no hospitals up there. Nobody gets sick. Nobody gets bit by copperheads. Hallelujah. But here, there are storms. You know, God has a plan for your life, but the devil has a plan for your life too. And what you have to do is recognize which one's which. And learn to reject one and submit to another. And turn your ringer off. I'm getting text here. You want me to go and answer this while I'm... I won't do that. Storms come. They're going to come because we're in this world. They're going to come because of the world we live in. Hard times come, sure. Blue Mondays, all those things. But you can fight them. You can fight them. You can come against them. The cloud of depression will try to roll in and take over. Attacks will hit you and your household. The devil will knock on your door trying to deliver packages. You don't have to receive them. You can say, return to sender, address unknown. Come on. You don't have to take what the devil's trying to give you. Don't sign for it. Tell him to go on down the road somewhere else. We're not taking that. We're not receiving that. You got the wrong address. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus. And I go to International Outreach Church. I know better than that. Notice what it says here in Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, Jesus speaking, whoever hears these sayings of mine, that's interesting. Slow it down, chew on it, think about it a minute. He's talking to us who hear his sayings. He's not talking about people that hadn't heard about Jesus, hadn't heard the word. He's talking to us. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I like that. Oh, my goodness gracious, that's where it's at, isn't it? You ought to be asking yourself every time you come to church, every time you open your Bible, every time you hear a message, whether on radio, television, or, you know, CD, tape, MP3, whatever you use, you ought to be asking yourself, now how can I do that? How can I apply that in my life? I'm going to take that and I'm going to act on that. Because really the end of all knowledge is action. God told us all this so we could do it. He didn't just tell us so we could memorize it, you know, and be able to quote it. And thank God you can quote it. You hope you can quote a lot of this, but it's no good if you don't do it. You got to do something with it. You got to, if he says pray, well, go pray. Amen. If he says shine your light, go shine your light. If he says forgive, then go forgive someone. Come on. If he says repent, repent. Come on. Let's do what he says to do. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, see. There's a difference because you can hear and not do, and he'll talk about that in a moment too. But he says, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to, he is like a man, a wise man. Well, I like that. How many of you want wisdom? Do the word. That's the beginning of wisdom right there. Yes. The fear of the Lord. Do what God says. Trust in what God says. Even when it doesn't look like it's the right thing to do, maybe you think you got a better way or better plan, God said this, and this is what we're going to do. Are you with me? That's wisdom. Wisdom always has to do with action. Knowledge is just passive. You know, I can know something and not be doing it. But now wisdom is doing it. Knowledge is the accumulation of information, piling up information. Sometimes we're just a plethora of information. We're like a cornucopia of facts. Hello, that don't do anybody any good. A warehouse of useless information, you know. We've attained knowledge, but see, what good is knowledge if you can't use it and you can't do anything with it? Wisdom, as opposed to knowledge, knowledge is the accumulation of information. Wisdom would be the application of information. Wisdom would be doing, it would be using it. So you can be knowledgeable and not be wise. You can be educated way beyond your intelligence. That makes sense? You ever seen anybody who was just very educated, very intelligent, but didn't have what we'd call a lick of sense? No common sense, you know. Couldn't do anything. They had all kinds of, if you talk to them, they're genius, man. But they couldn't carry on a normal conversation with anybody. And just very, very awkward in public, don't have any social graces or skills, and their life's kind of a wreck, but they're just a genius, just a genius. You know, so that's wisdom, that's knowledge without wisdom. You know, one of the problems we have in our school systems is we give out a lot of knowledge. But we don't give out a lot of wisdom. In fact, we almost shut it down. When you try to give them a little wisdom, then this, many times the school system says, oh, no, we can't teach that. Hello. Don't lie, don't cheat, pray, serve God, go. We can't. Are you with me? See, that's because that's doing. Now, that's actually doing something, not just hearing something. A lot of our testing sometimes in schools has to do with just memorization. Are you with me? Now, I'm not blasting the school system. I think we need to pray for it. My kids all went through the school system and graduated with honors, you know, and I think we need to pray for our teachers and pray for our school system. But let's don't be under a delusion here. The school's not responsible for your children. You are. You are responsible for your children. The way you live at home and the way you teach them, the way you live your life, they watch you. More's caught than just taught. They follow what you do. You can say all you want to, but if you don't do it, hello. You need to live what you preach, amen? Okay, and so that's what he's saying. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man built his house upon a rock. Hallelujah, that's a solid foundation. That's like having Henderson Concrete Company come out and pour you a bunch of concrete. I mean, you built it on a solid foundation. And he's going, yee-haw, call me anytime, right? Yeah. He's poured a lot of concrete around here. Goodness. But that's a slab. That's a solid. You can build on that, man. That's, if you want your life built solid and you want consistency in your life, then be consistent about doing the Word of God, doing what you hear. Apply it in your life. Pray over your family. Pray over your kids. Pray over your business. Amen. Have integrity, have character, love people, pray for people, be a light, share your faith, forgive. See, all that's doing the word, okay? Now, what you're doing, you may not realize it, but he makes it real plain here. What you're doing is you're storm-proofing your life. You're preparing yourself to overcome the storms of life, because I don't want to be doom, gloom, and destruction here, and I'm sure not being negative. I'm just telling the world we live in, there's a storm coming. If it hadn't happened already, it'll come. But you know what? You can still be standing when it's all over. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. Praise God. And in life, there is tragedy. In life, there is crisis. In life, there are challenges. As long as we are here on this earth, there's always going to be challenges, and there's going to be some huge crisis and mountains that you and I have to take care of. But the good news is we can take care of them, and we have hope, we have help when those times do come. There's loss in life. There's pain in life. You cut us, we bleed. We're not supermen and superwomen, but we can heal, and we do know how to get over it. Are you with me? If we know what God says, if we do what God says. Y'all get it? Amen. So you were born to overcome storms, and God gives us the formula, or gives us the formula here, and he makes it real plain. Hear the word and do the word, and you'll build your house on a rock. And the rains descended, 25th verse, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Ooh, I like that. You know, and we'll often say, and I don't want to take away from this at all, and I don't want you to get confused. We'll say, well, it was built on Jesus. Well, yeah, I got that. Jesus is the rock, no question, but that's not what he's saying here. He's saying it was built on the rock of doing what I say.
Yeah.
Amen? Applying it, doing something with it, man. That's what's so good about this. When you see this woman with the issue of blood get healed in Mark 5, that's for your benefit. That's so you can get healed, hallelujah. If you do what that woman did, you'll get what that woman got. You see those men take off that roof in Mark 2nd chapter, let that friend down through the roof that was sick of the palsy, and Jesus heals that man, he walks away carrying his bed. That's for your benefit. If you'll be that passionate, if you'll be that relentless, if you'll do what that man did and those friends did, you can get what that man got. But you got to do it. You got to do what they did. Those instructions are there for us. If we'll cry out, if we'll call, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. See, if we'll believe God, if we'll trust God, then the day comes when you'll need a miracle, you'll be storm ready. You'll be storm proof. And when that crisis hits, and it hits all, whether it's depression, whether it's loss in family, whatever it is that you need, I'll tell you what, if you're built on the rock of, if you're already doing God's word and you just have a habit of applying God's word in your life and you're a man or a woman of prayer and reading the Bible and standing on God's word and calling on God in time of need, I tell you, when that crisis hits, you'll know exactly what to do.
Amen.
Your knees may knock and your lips may quiver, but your knees will be kneeling and your lips will be quivering out Jesus. Amen. And when it's all over, hallelujah, you'll still be standing. Woo! Am I the only one getting excited in here? Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Aren't you glad we got some hope and got some help? Think about it. Now, and I'm not saying we're not going to have problems in life. Life's full of problems. But it's not God. God's not our problem. He's our answer. He's a problem solver. He's the mountain mover. Woo! So, he goes on and says this, 26th verse, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not. Now see, there's two kinds of hearers, and I've been both my life. How about you? Okay, nobody want to answer that one. I've heard not done. How about you? You ever done that? I've heard messages and just let them slip, you know, didn't do it, and knew better. I've had situations go on for days and realize I hadn't even prayed about it. Just dawn on me, you know. And you pray about other things, and you read your Bible, and then all of a sudden, you let this thing keep going, you know, and you realize, God, I hadn't even prayed about that. God, you know, what am I doing? I'm a preacher. I ought to know better than this.
Yeah.
Well, you're a Christian. You ought to know better than that, amen? And finally, you realize, hey, I guess I need to pray. Yeah, you should have done that a while back, but that's okay. Sometimes we listen, and we do. We obey, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just listen. But we don't want you to come just listen. I don't want to just read. I don't want to just preach. I want to be like him.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to be like him. Amen. I want to love more. I want to forgive more. I want to be nicer. I don't like being mean. I feel bad when I'm sharp and. Come on, I don't feel right about that. Whoever gets old and says, oh, I wish I'd been a little meaner.
Yeah.
Nobody has regrets about loving people. You don't regret being kind. You don't regret forgiving people. You don't regret helping people and encouraging people. Your regrets are always going to be you wish you would have encouraged somebody, or someone you wish you hadn't have been so mean to, or you hadn't discouraged, or you hadn't helped. Your regrets are never regrets of love. Think about it. Think about it. So, you know, that's why I want to do this. I want to do it because I got room to grow. I got no sense. No, I hadn't arrived yet. How about you? I am a Christian. I am born again. I have the righteousness of God in me, and if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I got that. But I'll tell you what, I need to improve in some areas. That's not a negative thing. That's just seeing room for growth and room for maturity, and I can be kinder. I could love more. I can forgive more. I can be a better husband. I can be a better pastor. I can be a better father and a papa and all those things. I can. I can be better. I think we can all be better. But I'm going to have to listen. And then I'm going to have to do what I hear. That's the way it's going to work. And I don't think you ever get too old to do that. Care if you live 100 years, you still room to improve. Amen? Okay. So, rolling, moving right along here. I only had about 10 more passages of scriptures I want to get to before we close out here. So. He says, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine, two different men, hears these sayings of mine and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and a wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, it's interesting to me when you look at this. The same thing happened to both men. Same thing. They both started out the same way. They both sat under Jesus' feet and heard what he said. But only one of them did what he said. The other one heard, and you can just hear and hear and hear and hear. You can hear year in and year out, decade in and decade out. You can hear and not do. Come on. In fact, I think the more you hear and not do, the more it gets ingrained in you to not do. God bless you, Betty. Hallelujah. But, you know, you ought to have a habit of hearing and doing, acting on it. You know, we heard a tremendous testimony last week from the Hendersons about a boat accident that took place, and you know, and you know what they all did? They all did what they heard. They all did what they'd been hearing about praying in tongues and praying for healing and believing for a miracle and calling on the name of Jesus and hitting your knees and not giving up and not giving in, not quitting. They did something. They didn't just hear something. They did something and got a miracle. They got a miracle because they did what they heard. And that's what God's called. And it's not hard. It's not like impossible. It's not just for special people. It's for everybody. God is no respecter of person. He loves you. I don't care where you came from or where you're going through. It does not matter. It doesn't matter about your education or lack thereof. It doesn't matter about your upbringing, be it good, bad, or indifferent. And I hope you had a good upbringing. But, you know, if you didn't, it's okay. This is a new day. Your parents did the best they could, and now it's up to you. Amen. You can't belabor that all your life. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom and daddy divorced each other twice and married each other three times. I actually have in my possession three marriage certificates and two divorce decrees, and they got stayed together. And before he passed away, and I thank God for it. And Dad finally beat alcoholism later in life, but I went through that as a kid, and I got kicked out of high school in the 10th grade, and had the police call on me, and you know I've been in jails and drugs and all those kinds of things. But at 19, I turned my life over to Jesus. I got saved, and all that stuff. That's just all back there somewhere. I don't know about all that. I'm going another direction now. I'm going forward. I'm not going backwards. I can't unscramble eggs. I can't undo what's done, but I can do something about today. I can do something about the future. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you've had a mess in your life. Maybe you made a mess of your life. Well, I don't, you know, I got no stones to throw. Nobody does. We love you. We're for you. I care where you've been or what you've done. You can start right now, and you can serve God. Right now, you can get a hold of the Word of God, and you can say, well, no more, no more. I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to start seeing victory in my life. Wow. Maybe you've gone through some bad marriages. I don't know. I don't believe God likes divorce, but he loves people that have been divorced. Doesn't hate you.
That's right.
You might be on your second, third, fourth. I don't know. But wherever you are, praise God, if you're married, you're stuck, okay? Let's make this one work. Are you with me? And if you're not married and you want to get married, there's hope for you. There's life again. Praise God. Just believe God and trust God. And don't give up. If you made a mess of your life, what? We've all made mess of our life. Are you kidding me? You say, well, I just don't think God could ever use me. Well, who do you think God's going to use? Everybody's messed up. Where's the perfect person God's going to find to use? Where's the guy and the man and the woman that's never sinned? Where's the man and woman that's never done anything wrong that he can all of a sudden use? They're not there. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And he didn't call me the pastor because I was such a great guy. I was just available mud, I guess you'd say. We're all dirt in that respect. And I said yes, and he could have called anybody. He didn't call me because I was special. Well, I guess I did. I had a 10th grade education. Almost, I would have, yeah. I guess I was pretty special. No. Are you out there? He's just looking for somebody to do the word. God doesn't need ability. He's got plenty of it. He just needs availability. Somebody that he can use and flow through. Wow. That's good stuff. Amen? So, same thing happened to both people. Same thing. But the outcome was different. The outcome was different because of what somebody did. Not because God wanted to bless this guy and didn't want to bless that guy. Not because God was mad at somebody. You know, it's like that guy got to heaven and says, man, what? Everything in the world happened to me. And, you know, Bob, we'll just say his name's Bob. And says, Bob got to heaven and says, God, I don't know what's going on. I mean, every time I did something, it went wrong. And you just, what was going on? And God said, I don't know, Bob. I just never did like you. No, God doesn't do that. Are you with me? God doesn't play favorites like that. He loves everybody.
That's right.
Most of the time we do it to ourselves. Or we're in the wrong crowd, or, you know, or the sin of Adam. Sometimes you just get sucker punched. You didn't do anything. Are you out there?
Yes.
What was that Brother Osteen said one time? I thought this was the funniest thing. I didn't remember it, and this reunion people were talking about. This lady that had died and gone to heaven, and God said, she said, I really wanted to live a little longer. And he said, well, I'll give you 10 more years. Just going back, I'll give you 10 more years. And she said, okay. So she went back, and man, she came back and she had a total makeover, had a facelift, had everything redone, you know, and looked like 20, 30 years younger, and stepped out on the street and got run over and died within a year. And she got to heaven and says, God, I thought you gave me 10 more years. He said, oh, was that you? I didn't even recognize you. Anyway. Now, let's see if we can recover from that, okay? Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. But God's telling us we can survive the storms, hallelujah. You know, Brother Osteen used to always say this. John Osteen, that's Joe's dad, was our pastor for years. He said, quit talking to God about how big your mountain is and start talking to that mountain about how big your God is.
Amen?
Amen? And God is bigger than the mountain. Okay, you got a little rain, you got a little storm, you got a little wind. Listen, if you'll believe God, you'll still be standing when it's all over. Don't give up in the middle of the storm. Don't quit. I always heard if you're in deep waters, the best thing to do is swim. You don't want the alternative. At least you start swimming, amen? Start paddling the boat. Do something. Believe God. Trust God. I don't know if everything's going to happen to me in life. You don't either. But you can know this. You can be sure of this if you're in a habit of doing this. You can be sure you're going to trust God. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to trust God. I've been through a lot of stuff in my life. I'm not perfect. I have sinned. I've had to repent and everything. But you know what? Brent and I have trusted God. And I know that whatever the future holds, whatever happens, whatever the devil throws my way, we're going to trust God. And I know this also, God's going to come through because he always has.
Yeah.
He always will. Might be battling for a while, might go through the battle, but I tell you, we're going to win when it's all over. Because we're not going to quit. We've had things go on in our family. You think pastors, you know, they don't have problems. No, are you kidding me? We've had physical attacks in our family with our kids that were born. We've had some miracles. Chris and Sissy had a miracle with Cassie, a real miracle. I mean, the doctor comes out there and tells Chris that, you know, all kinds of complications with Cassie, that she didn't have oxygen for how long was it? They don't even know. She was without oxygen, and they said she's going to have brain damage. They put her in NICU, and giving Chris all these, you know, all these scenarios that were going to happen, and so on. And Chris said, Doctor, thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for all you've done. And we're for you, but we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God for what you can't.
Amen.
And she was in NICU or NICU, yeah, for how long? Okay, all right. Next time I get the testimony down a little better when I get up there and start in the middle of it. But anyway, she was in there for a while, 2 weeks, okay, came out, and they could not understand what was going on because there wasn't anything wrong with her, nothing wrong with her brain, nothing wrong with her. And she's just perfectly normal. In fact, probably more normal than most kids. She's, is that word, is that right? Okay. Sharp as a tack, alive and just joyful and just a blessing because they believed.
Amen.
Because they believed. When the storm came, they didn't just lay down.
That's right.
Believe God. You got to believe God. Are you with me? You got to go forward. Hallelujah. And we could just go on in our own lives, our own family. Not just, this is not something I'm just reading out of a book. If it is, it's the 67th book.
Right.
It's a book being written in our lives. And you got a book being written in your life. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We all have testimonies. So, you know, get storm ready. Don't think the storm's not coming because it is, but don't be afraid of it when it comes because you know what to do when the storm comes.
That's right.
Hear what Jesus says and do what Jesus says. In context, and I'm going to wrap this up because, goodness, no, I'm not going to be able to get to that, no. No, that's not going to happen. You know, they had a storm in the very next chapter. In the very next chapter. And Jesus talked about storms. They had one in the very next chapter. And they all laid down, didn't listen to a thing he said. That's what gets me. But when he says, hear these sayings and do them, you want to get it in context? Fifth, sixth, seventh chapter. That's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's when Jesus taught them the Beatitudes. He taught about prayer. He just in that seventh chapter, he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, a door be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth. And everyone that knocketh, the door will be opened unto you.
Amen.
That's right there. He says all that right there. So if you hear those sayings and you do them when the storm comes, you'll still be standing.
Yeah.
If you'll do what he said, go back and read fifth, sixth, seventh, sixth chapter talks about prayer also. Talks about the Gentiles seeking after things like clothes and food and housing. And he says, consider the sparrows. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And why do you take thought for clothing or worry about clothing? Consider the lily of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Solomon, all of his glory, is not arrayed like one of those flowers. And if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's his sayings. That's some of the sayings that he talked about. Oh, hallelujah. So when the storm comes, if I'll do those things, if I'll seek first his kingdom, if I'll call on him, I'll ask and I'll seek and I'll knock, praise God, I'll still be standing when the storm's over. If I will do what he says. And that's the context. That's what he says. So, you know, whenever you see something like that, these sayings, hear these sayings, back up. Back up and read those sayings. Put them in your life, institute them in your life, praise God.
Yes.
All the storm may be coming. There's probably a storm coming in this country if it hadn't already hit,
yes,
as it were. But I know who'll still be standing when it's over.
Right.
God's people. God's people that believe him and trust him and call on his name will still be standing.
Amen.
And you can still be standing too. Hallelujah.